Praise the Lord Jesus. I'm Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're talking about, on our teachings about how to walk in divine health, some of the things I've learned that you must know about how to walk in divine health is who you are in Christ. In other words, to identify yourself with Christ and who you are. Because if you don't know what the Word of God says about who you are in Christ, you probably will never walk in the miraculous realm with God. I know I didn't. Didn't even come close. Didn't even know there was a miraculous realm. But when I began to read this book in such detail and read it so closely, I began to understand that I really had something in Christ. I mean, I really had something here. So let's read about it a little more. So I want to walk in divine health. I want you to walk in divine health. I didn't do it the first 40 years of my life, but I have the last 20-something years of my life, and I'm going to walk in it until the Lord translates me out of here. Somebody says, well, if you don't ever get sick, how are you going to die? That's real simple. God will take away my breath and translate me into the kingdom. You don't have to be sick to die. He just takes your spirit and soul out, and when he does, the body is left, and it's nothing. It'll deteriorate and turn back to dirt from what it came. But the real you, the spirit and the soul, is gone. And so that's the way it is with God. Now then, one of the other things that you need to know to be able to identify with Christ, to really see how to get great things done, is you need to know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, I ask that question quite often in churches or in meetings or in teachings where I am, and I'll ask people a simple question. The Word of God says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I said so. You see, without the prayer of a righteous man, we're not going to get very much. In fact, nothing. I said, is there anybody in here that believes that they're capable of walking right into the throne room of God and asking God for anything you want in the name of Jesus? Do you believe you're that righteous? Very few people will hold up their hand. But that's because they've never learned their identity with Christ. They don't know who they are. They've never studied the scripture out in detail, just like I hadn't. They didn't know who they were. They didn't know what they could do. But I'm going to read out of the Living Bible, but I want to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 15. And we're going to go all the way through the rest of that chapter, even into verse chapter 6, verse 1. But I want you to see what he said here in 2 Corinthians 5. And he died for all, so that all who live, having received eternal life from him, might live no longer for themselves, to please themselves, but to spend their lives pleasing Christ who died and rose again for them. Now, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to please yourself? No, you're supposed to please him. Now, if you please him, I guarantee he will make your life happy and he will give you an abundant life. It's kind of like a man and a woman that's married. If a woman loves her husband and is willing to please her husband to do everything she knows if it pleases him, if it pleases him to wear a certain dress, she will wear it. If she knows it pleases her husband to go certain places with him, she will go there with him. Maybe he likes to go somewhere she doesn't like to go. But if she knows it pleases him, then if she will go with him and please him and do everything that pleases him, chances are he will give her the desires of her heart as best as he can, because that's just the way it works. But the Lord says here that he will bless us if we will spend our life trying to please him. And so in verse 16, he says, so stop evaluating Christians. And we do that quite well, but we're not supposed to. Stop evaluating Christians by what the world thinks about them. Now, the world, they think some bad things about us. or by what they seem to be like on the outside. In other words, you might look at a person, who knows what that person might look like? Who knows what they might, you know, I mean, they might not wear the fanciest clothes. They might not have the money to do that. They might not wear fancy shoes. They may wear very inexpensive shoes. Don't judge them by what you see on the outside, because that heart may be awesome with God. So it says, don't judge them by what they see on the outside. The writer here said, once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, merely as a human being like myself, how differently I feel now. But now, you know, when Jesus was here on the earth, he was a human being, but he's not anymore. And if you look at him today like a human being, you're going to be wrong. Because when he was here on the earth, he was absolutely a human being. He was a man, just like you and me. He laid down all of his deity. He walked in this earth for 33 years without his deity, and he laid it down, and he showed you and me what we could do as a man, a pure man, if we'd walk clean and pure with no sin in our life, none whatsoever. And he done great things, but he said we can do the same thing. But now we see he's not a man any longer. He still looks like a man. He still has the scars in his hands and his feet, but he's no longer a man. He is God, but he still looks just like a man. When you get to the throne of grace one day, and when you really get there after you die on this earth, and when you open your eyes, you will see the King, and he will still have those scars in the palms of his hands or wherever they drove them through, and in his feet. So as he has that, you will be able to tell that it is Jesus. But now then, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. Now then, what you see on the outside has nothing to do with what you're going to be like on the inside. Because what you were like on the inside before you became a Christian and what you become like on the inside after you become a Christian is going to dramatically change. Now, your outward appearance may not change that much. If you had something, a scar on your face, it's probably still there. But you can't ever tell. After you become a Christian, you can learn how to pray off a scar. There's promises in the Word of God that you can do anything. Now, as I became a partaker of this divine nature and realized all these things about Christ as to who I was in Christ, and that all of God's promises are yes and amen, I started praying for people and praying in faith. Wow, and talk about a scar coming off of your face. I've seen scars come off people's bodies several times. Some little ones, some big ones. But God, nothing's hard for God. Nothing. It says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. Now, that's verse 17. He is not the same person. He's not the same person anymore. A new life has begun. All these new things are from God. Now, you get these when you become a born-again Christian. Now, he's beginning to identify you with him. And he says, you got all these things from God who brought us back to himself through what Christ Jesus did. And it says here, and God has given us the privilege, as God has given us this great and awesome privilege, of urging everyone to come into his favor and to be reconciled to him. See, he's given you and me this magnificent plan of reconciliation. It says, for God was in Christ reconciling or restoring the world to himself, no longer counting man's sins against them, but blotting them out. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. Now, let me tell you, I had to read that a lot of times before I got revelation on that. I thought, Lord, when you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to this earth, You literally made peace with mankind, just like you said in your word. You completely forgave all of our sins, past, present, and future. So it makes no difference where we are in our life, whether we're little, middle age, or old age, and we come to a point where we're lost. We're a sinner. We're on the way to hell. But right now, He's not counting that sin against us. He's just letting us ride through. And God's not holding our sins against us because of the blood of His Son. Well, if you come to a point, let's say you've been the worst murderer, or the worst abortionist, or the worst rapist, or the worst prostitute, or whatever you were, drunkard, anything, you name it. Technically speaking, when you were without Christ, He was not holding those sins against you. He was just letting you live in it. And one day, let's say you've been the worst sinner you can imagine until you get to be 50. At 50 years of age, you found out that Jesus died on the cross for you, that He paid the price for you, and He wanted you to come over in His kingdom, and He would be willing to remit all of those sins and make you like a brand new person. You thought, this is too good to be true. And you might even been sick and afflicted because of all your sins. And probably you had been sick or had been afflicted or was still afflicted because of your sins. Because when you open the door through sin, although you're lost and God's not holding you accountable for those sins, the devil still has legal right to torment you. And he will do it. And so he will make you sick. He will afflict you. So it makes no difference whether you're lost or saved. All the people that don't know how to walk in faith, they get sick. Now, once you become a Christian and you know what's available, you can get to the point where you don't have to be sick anymore. But there's not very many people that I know that's ever been able to walk there. I certainly didn't most of my life. But praise the Lord, the last 20 years I have. No sickness and disease because I've received Jesus as my healer, just like I received Him as my Savior by faith in His Word. Now then, once you become this brand new creature in Christ on the inside, now then, if you never learn about Jesus and He's not remembering your sins and you never learn about Him and you die, then He holds you accountable. Now He will judge you for every sin you've ever committed, because during the walk of your life on this earth, you never learned about His Son, or you never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When you don't receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, then at the end of your life, He holds you accountable for everything you've ever done. Everything. And you will be judged and you will be cast into the lake of fire to suffer forever.
We have to stop right there, but if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.